gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm good. Everything's good. I have the wrong box, I think.
What?
I have the wrong box.
Oh, no. I gave you my box.
Uh-huh. I hate when that happens.
Okay.
We're a little discombobulated.
Well.
I'm going to France tomorrow after the show.
I don't think you're past the point of care.
I got some stuff to do. Yeah, I broke my headphones right before the show.
Yeah, right.
Didn't really, you know, prepare. All right. Good luck to us. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anybody. Nobody panic, for God's sakes. Just because I've gotten control of my own box. Look, you're carrying my box across the room.
Boy,
all right. John Fugelsang is going to join us in just a few minutes. Because he's going to be hosting for me Friday and then all next week filling in for us, Labor Day week. We have Ari Berman from The Nation. There we go. Oh, look at you plugging in my box. Tell me I'm pretty first before you stick that in my box.
Oh, yeah, you're so pretty, Steph.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Stephanie Miller. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's fine. Everything's fine. We're going to be, it'll be great. Okay. Oh, looky here, Mike in Raleigh says, Steph, bon voyage, enjoy your trip to Paris. While on the plane, maybe you can put on your iPod and drown out the noise of screaming babies and pick up some common phrases in French with the attached MP3. Well, that's very helpful.
Vous
Thank
êtes
you.
Un sac de merde couché.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Vous êtes un sac de merde couché.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Vous êtes un menteur intrigant sac de merde puante méchant liquide.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh,
that's very helpful. In case I should have to sing that on the plane for
sure.
Any reason.
Yeah.
All right. It's our vacation next week, and I've been saving my shekels for years. It's my 50th birthday this next month, and so I'm going.
Your shekels?
On a wine-tasting bike trip in France.
You couldn't so
You know
much.
Why?
Why?
I'm going to be being both liberal and French and gay just to piss off Fox News. Ooh. I don't have to worry about Bill O'Reilly's police, though, do I? Because at least I'm not dating his wife. What? We'll get to that whole story later. Oh, heavens.
Oh, dear.
More unpleasantness for Bill O'Reilly.
Now we know why Fox News has been attacking Gawker very baselessly for the past couple of weeks. They got wind that this was coming along.
Oh, heavens to Betsy.
Yes.
We'll get to all of that.
Oh, it's awesome.
All right. In the meanwhile, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Speaking of which, Trevor with a story from Denver City by the Bay.
Yeah, I've heard.
That we love. Hey, Steph. In the right-wing conservative bastion of Colorado Springs, where my life partner Ben and I live, they're one of the homo gays.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A progressive voice on talk radio, virtually unheard of. That's why I was tickled one October morning in 2010 to stumble across your show via streaming internet. It wasn't long before I purchased a subscription to the Stephcast. Thank you so much.
Yay.
And became completely enamored with your fart joke brand of comedy. Thank you. My partner, not so much.
Uh-oh.
We have a lot of these stories. You have to bring your significant other around.
Mm-hmm.
There were signs, though, of his impending coming out as a Stephanie Miller fanboy, though. One afternoon, I opened my fridge to find that box wine had taken the place of our usual 12-pack of beer. A few weeks later, I overheard him singing Baby Monkey to himself in the shower. The final clue when he mentioned casually, did you know Hal Sparks isn't gay? He's what they call gay adjacent.
Oh, dear.
It's true.
All right.
After that, we became pretty open about our mutual love and admiration of your program. One question always lingered, though. When the heck were you going to do a sexy liberal comedy show in Denver, the much vaunted city by the bay?
Denver! City by the bay!
Well, yesterday, my partner grabbed me from behind and he whipped out, I don't know if I want to hear this story. Oh, two ticket confirmations for the Sexy Liberal Show in Denver with meet and grope access. Hugs and kisses.
Aww.
Trevor. Aww.
After selling out venues all over the nation.
And wowing crowds across the state.
We have never been just a collection of red states and blue states.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is proud to announce their final date in 2011.
And they're closing out this year on a high note.
Rocky Mountain High.
Denver, Colorado. That means you.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
On December 17th, Denver's Paramount Theater will host this year's most highly acclaimed progressive comedy tour.
The Sexy Liberal Players, featuring talk radio star Stephanie Miller.
Geez, are we going to Denver or Whore Island?
Tickets are available at the Pepsi Center box office,
Dick's Sporting Goods box office,
at TicketHorse.com,
or by calling 303-53-HORSE.
Come join Steffi's Mile High Club with her signature brand of sexy liberal strange.
Don't miss your last chance to see the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in 2011.
Hooray!
Yay! Yay! And then we got a boltload of other ones coming up. Go to sexyliberal.com and get tickets there. Going fast. Lansing, the special Democratic Party fundraiser, selling fast September 17th in East Lansing. Then we have Asheville, North Carolina, September 24th. And on and on. Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. October is going to be nuts for you.
A little crazy.
Yeah.
A little nutty. Yeah. All right. So very exciting. Get your tickets now. And let's dive into the right-wing world. Speaking of entertainment pleasure, why not?
We used to do it every day at this time, didn't we?
Yeah, who can remember? I don't even remember agreeing to all these sexy liberal shows, and yet there I am.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the this thing again about, what do you call it? Remember when he said Colin Powell only voted for Obama because he's black?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a black thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only, you know.
With General Powell saying that he's not quite sure if he would vote for Obama, that's got to set off some warning bells at the Democrat Party. Because, as I say, if the titular head of the Republican Party is starting to have doubts about your candidate, you know that you are in trouble. But in the end, Powell will vote for Obama. Melanin is thicker than water, folks.
Mm. Wow.
Oof.
Is that not horribly racist and dismissive of two incredibly accomplished men who happen to be black?
Yes.
Okay. I was just checking. Okay. I'm just going to leave that lay there like big, stinky, racist turd that it is.
Well,
okay.
I think Dick Cheney made Rush talk that way about Colin Powell.
Oh, could you, by the way, how could you even hear Rush's head so far up Cheney's ass?
Yeah.
I have to say this. I'm sorry I didn't say it. You are a great man. I'm a big fan of your work.
What work? Torture? Being a war criminal? Oh, like he was like some Hollywood star. I'm a huge fan of your work. Let me get my head a little further up your ass.
That was
You're
gross.
A great man. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we'll get to all the Dick stuff in a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, we will.
Hmm. Okay.
Fugelsang has a few things to say about
Speaking
Dick.
Speaking of Dick Morris.
Oh, dear.
They want to build this mosque on Ground Zero, two blocks from where the World Trade Center towers stood. And it polarized everybody.
Oh, God,
and some people
again?
Said, oh, yes, religious freedom. Others said, no, it's rubbing our noses in it, and they're going to teach Sharia law there. Well, now guess what? These guys are applying to the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, a federally funded entity, for a federal grant. These guys who are going to set up a mosque where they'll teach Sharia law
and
train the same kind of terrorists that caused the attack on the World Trade Center to happen, want us to provide them with U.S. taxpayer money to make
it
possible.
Terrorists at a community center?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're building a community center to train terrorists. That's exactly. In fact, they said that on the form that they filled out, Chris. It said, we would like to train terrorists here, please, with American taxpayer money.
Here at this Ground Zero Mosque.
Wow, we're only two sound bites in, and already I think it's the most racist right-wing world ever.
It is.
Okay.
He probably got that directly from noted racist Pam Geller.
Mm-hmm. Atlas Jugs.
Yep.
All right, Greg Gutfield. On Bill. The five. Mm-hmm. On Michelle Bachmann's amazing plan to... She's an environmentalist, you know.
I hear.
Do a drill in the Everglades.
No, they call the Everglades a fragile ecosystem.
Yeah.
Isn't that a
yes.
complicated way of saying swamp?
Yeah.
It's just a big swamp. It's a valuable swamp. It's a valuable swamp, but it's a swamp. I would drill in Disneyland and make it a ride. I would drill out here on 6th Avenue. I would drill everywhere.
He would drill it. He'd go one better and drill at Disneyland.
Disneyland. Make it a ride.
And make it a ride.
He drilled right there on 6th Avenue, right in front of Fox News.
Okay. All right. Charles Payne,
yes.
me, to Bill Nye, the science guy, on Fox Business Channel.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, Bill. Ever since Katrina, right, we heard that every year the hurricane season is going to be more devastating, and it was you know, apocalyptic and the end of the world. And the reality is we haven't seen that. So how can Newsweek say, hey, this is the new normal? Is that irresponsible, or is there any science behind that?
Well, there's a lot more science behind it than saying it's not.
We brought you on because we knew you could connect the dots. And guess what? You've connected them. Although the route you've taken is still confusing some of the viewers.
Some of the viewers that are the biggest dopes in the world, which is why they watch Fox News. Is there any science? Did he just say, is there any science about global warming?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
To Bill Nye, the science guy.
You're confusing our viewers by by the way, if the guy is the science guy is in his name, maybe he actually knows a little bit of science.
I watched that entire 12-minute interview, and I got to give it to Bill Nye. He had extraordinary patience with Charles Payne, who is the biggest dolt on Fox Business Channel.
You're
and
confusing
that is
our listeners
something.
By bringing actual science on the show, Bill Nye, science guy. Why would you talk? Why would you bring science on a Fox show?
Wow.
All right. Wow. Andrea, see, that's why he doesn't call himself Bill Nye the, you know, teabag guy or something else that would entail being stupid.
The creationism guy. You know.
Okay. I don't know why I think you do it to me because we're almost on vacation and you're sick of me. Mm-hmm. So this is why Andrew Tantaro must be on.
The right-wing velociraptor?
Twice this week.
Obama's a natural disaster and he bums people out.
There you go. There's a nice shot. Look,
good one.
Liberals never want to focus on mental illness. I agree with you.
What?
It's very serious.
What do you
but
mean?
We had the Arizona shooting, and rather than talk about the fact that Jared Lautner has a serious disease, mental illness, they blamed it on guns. Now, again, they're blaming climate change on mental. I mean, it's just
every single.
It is serious.
Yes. Nobody blamed just on guns.
No.
It's a combination
of mental
guns,
illness.
Mental illness, which they don't want to have any funding for, by the way.
Right.
Republicans, and then also a lot of right wing hate rhetoric that stirs up people that are mentally ill.
How do you debate stupidity like that?
You can't.
I mean, you've debated her. How do you debate stupidity like that?
Drink a lot before you show
up
on set. That's
how you do it.
All right. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour. I need to pause before we finish our Right Wing World. I'm a little winded. Okay. Oh.
What?
Just thank God just a skosh more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The ecclesiastical MOOC, sexy liberal John Bugelflang, joins us for the next half hour. Since I won't be here Friday, he will be filling in for me with the MOOCs.
Absolutely.
Mama will be bon voyage. On vacation.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
En route.
Exactly. I will have lost my general sense of ennui and be reclaiming my je ne sais quoi. All right.
And you'll be saying j'accuse all over the...
J'accuse! That's the only thing I know how to say.
All over the Avenue du Paris.
I'm the champs de Liza Boulevard there. Can't wait. All right. Let's finish up Right Wing World. Seriously, did you listen to any of the vomitous interview with Rush Limbaugh with Dick Cheney?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't stomach too much of it.
Oh, you're a great man. Really. You do just... and then here is Cheney.
Thank you, Rush. You do great work, and I'm a huge fan, as you know, and I'm honored that you take time out of your show to chat about it.
Anytime. Vice President Dick Cheney.
I just think I'm going to vibe.
I'm a big fan of your work. You are great. I know I will say some heat for this. You are great. Man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Fan of your work. You know, your waterboarding and such. By the way, did you see him, Dick? When I say him, Dick. Never so aptly named a man.
That's right.
Did you see him get caught in the... I mean, there is no way... This is the question we always ask.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that waterboarding, you seem to think in your own mind, is legal when we said it was illegal when it was done to our troops? And he couldn't really explain that.
Right.
Yeah. We said it was a war crime and illegal when the Japanese did it to us. And this is Matt Lauer, I believe, was one.
Mm-hmm.
See, the problem is he has no sense of... he said there's no contradiction. Dick Cheney said there's no contradiction in advocating waterboarding against suspected U.S. enemies and opposing those practices when used against American citizens.
Yeah.
See how that works there? Cheney was asked about a hypothetical case in which Iran would decide to use waterboarding on Americans suspected of spying. Cheney said, well, I think we would object on the grounds that we have obligations to our citizens. Uh-huh.
Okay.
He was asked on Today Show if he was embracing a double standard. You think? And he said, these are not American citizens. So you see.
But.
Yes.
We don't do that to people.
He embraces the evil. He also, when he was, he conceded he'd been a lightning rod for criticism during the Bush administration. He said, I'm Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. It's like, he's saying, yes, I am an evil bastard.
Yeah.
I am. And I like it. That's who I am.
I embrace it.
So. Yeah, but what was that he said so for? Remember in the during the Bush administration?
Oh God, I can't remember.
I can't remember what the he was like. So it was something about torture, war crime, something. He's like so because somebody was saying the American people don't. He's like, who cares?
Yeah,
them.
Well, he also told a sitting senator to F off.
Yes,
so.
Yes. He also defended comments that he made about Colin Powell, saying his take on the former Secretary of State is basically all very positive, except for all the cheap shots, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lauer asked Cheney about the parts of the book where he takes Powell to task for his opposition to the Iraq War. Cheney responded that in the three chapters in which he details his tenure as Secretary of Defense working with Powell, there's a lot of very positive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is Dick Cheney on the Today Show.
I don't think that it damaged our reputation around the world.
Really?
I don't believe that.
Really?
I think the critics here at home would argue that. But in fact, I think it was sound policy.
Here at home,
dealt with a very serious problem, and that eliminated Saddam Hussein from the kind of problem he presented before. What would have happened this week if Muammar Gaddafi had still been in power with a nuclear weapon in Libya? Would he have fled? I doubt it.
Wow, hypothetical man. So now he's taking credit for Obama's apparent success regarding Gaddafi. Now that's also a Bush administration.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just like getting bin Laden, of course, another Bush administration victory.
But he's also comparing apples to oranges there, because he's saying that Libya was on its way to getting weapons of mass destruction, just like Iraq was. But Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction.
Yes. Why must my dream of him at the Hague have died? Dick Cheney.
I think the president made the decision. He felt strongly about it, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He understood the dimensions of what we were doing.
Mm.
I certainly supported it. I advocated it. I thought it was the right policy.
Sure.
I believe that still today.
Wow. But a completely unnecessary illegal war. Well, okay, then. Just a few little critics at home. That's all, Chris.
Yeah.
A few little naysayers here. Wow. Entire world condemned the Iraq War.
Sorry.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is an anarchist, a sociopath, a lunatic, and for the love of God, boobs.
Solid cup, perky bounce.
Momentary grudging respect.
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere now, even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the try free button, enter that promo code Stephanie. Matthew in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. I got
VIP
tickets for the 24th. I can't wait.
Yay! All right, go ahead.
Wanted to mention that, you know, Dick Cheney. Did you say Dick Cheney called himself Darth Vader?
Yes,
he did.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Darth Vader wasn't a draft dodger, and he fought in his own war.
Hey, hey Matthew! Nothing but net. All right.
That's awesome.
All right. It's Wednesdays with Fugle. What?
What? Wednesdays with Wugelsang?
Do we do a jingle? No.
No.
I don't think so. Good morning, John Fugelsang, sexy liberal.
Good morning. If Dick Cheney is Darth Vader, that makes Liz Cheney Princess Leia fighting for the Empire. So
yes.
It works completely.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, Dick Cheney's memoir is so watered down. Right now he's pouring it on an innocent guy's face.
Yeah, he let the flavor in. Okay. Listen, I understand.
He's evil is what I'm trying to say.
Is that was the subtle
he's
humor
so
there?
Satan just gave a concession speech.
Hey!
I understand you've posted all the best Dick jokes, Dick Cheney jokes, on your Facebook page.
You know what? It was just, it's a slow news week. That's why I'm here. And everyone's on vacation in D.C. And
yes.
I just thought it's worth pointing out that Dick Cheney's book leaves out the part where he went to Sweden and beat Max von Sydow at chess.
Yes!
He's so toxic, rich ladies have begun injecting him into their foreheads. I'm trying to tell you he's evil.
I don't think Stephanie got the Ingmar Bergman joke.
Yes, I did.
Did you really?
I get movie references.
Okay.
It's an old movie reference, so I get it.
I went on your Facebook page last night, and I asked the Stephanie Miller fans to give us some of their favorite Dick Cheney's evil jokes. You have some creative fans, Steph.
Yeah.
We've been comparing notes, and again, this is all in the public good, because liberals have the reasoned arguments. We don't just call names and run away, except for now. This is just
except for now.
Except
it's too
for
good.
Now. Yeah.
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 He really is just so evil and unrepentant about it. I'm sorry. There's no other way to call it, you know?
Oh, he's like Nixon without the shame for the last 30 years of his life.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
Did you see Lawrence Wilkerson, obviously Colin Powell's chief of staff? He said Dick Cheney, first of all, well, a bunch of things he said were pretty, but he said he was president for all practical purposes, which we all pretty much knew,
right.
During George Bush's first term in office, and fears being tried as a war criminal. Hello!
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Ray Redspider wrote, knock, knock, who's there? Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney who? You're on the jury.
Yay! Yay! Wee! I love hate jokes. Okay. Yeah. This was, let's see. I love this. He was on, I guess he was on ABC News first. I love this. A lot of this is kind of from the Department of No Sherlock. He said Cheney was a very vindictive person, which I wouldn't have picked up myself.
No, I wouldn't have gotten
no,
that.
No, no. Wait a minute. Let me get Valerie Plame on the phone again like we have before and see what she thinks about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lawrence Wilkerson said in that interview he would testify against Cheney if he was called to do
so
in The Hague.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's just say Dick Cheney says he's completely innocent, but they've canceled his book tour speaking engagement in Europe indefinitely.
Yeah, interesting. You think there'd
be
such demand for him in Europe?
No, not popular over there. Not well, and actually, it's funny, because my ex works at HarperCollins, so I hear about all the other political memoirs that are rolling out this year. Because, in the last year, we've seen George Bush's book, Condoleezza Rice's book, and Dick Cheney's book, which is See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Evil. And now I found out that, Dick Cheney's new memoir, where he slams Colin Powell, is called In My Time. Mm-hmm. Colin Powell has a memoir coming out called More Like In Your Mind.
Yes.
Dick Cheney's publishing his rebuttal book, Master of the House, At Least My Name Doesn't Sound Rectal. And Colin Powell is publishing his rebuke, No, Your Name Sounds Like Dick. This is followed by Dick Cheney's self-published, self-edited counter-memoir, Methinks the Help Needs to Learn Their Place. Following which, Colin Powell releases his book, Bitch, You Call Me the Help. And then Condoleezza Rice is going to pen her counter-memoir, Agreeing to Disagree.
There you
which
go.
Will prompt Cheney and Powell to set aside their differences and co-author the book, Shut Up, Condi.
Yes.
That entire book is just anecdotes of actual White House meetings that ended with someone saying, Shut Up, Condi.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So watch for all of those.
All right. Thank you, John. That's going to be a lot of books. I know. I actually was thinking I've got to figure out, how many books. That's a long flight,
Yeah.
L.A. to Paris. But then I thought, I can't actually bring Dick Cheney's book to France, can I? I'll probably get thrown in.
You can, but the French will make you bury it in a lead box once you get there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wilkerson said, among other things, I think he's trying to, one, assert himself so he's not in some subsequent time period tried for war crimes, and second, so that he somehow vindicates himself because he feels like he needs vindication. That in itself tells you something about him.
Exactly.
He's developed an angst and almost a protective cover, and now he fears being tried as a war criminal. He uses such terminology, exploding heads all over Washington, because that's the way someone who's decided he's not going to be prosecuted acts boldly. Let's get out in front of everybody. Let's act like we're not concerned and so forth, when in fact they're covering up their own fear that somebody will pinochet him.
That's what he's
Yeah, I mean, he's auditioning for a less damaging place in history. That's the whole thing the book is about. You know, Tiger Woods had his apology tour, and now Dick Cheney has his no apology tour. And there'll be no humility. There'll be, you know, just more godless justifications for horrible un-American behaviors by a guy who passes himself off as a Christian.
Well, what do you think about what Wilkerson said, too? He might be suffering from angst because he didn't serve in Vietnam War. I mean, you know, he knows he's a chicken hawk.
I don't think it bothers him one bit. I mean, look, Muhammad Ali was a guy who opposed the Vietnam War, didn't go, and was made to suffer for many years. Dick Cheney was a guy who supported the war, supported other guys going, and now lectures about patriotism. All these guys don't care about Vietnam. They're the ruling class. They don't go to fight in these wars. They send your kids to do it. Bush avoided Vietnam service. Limbaugh, Pat Buchanan. Dick Cheney got five deferments.
Right, and he had the nads to actually say, oh, I had other priorities. Like, you know, it's an option for me. It wasn't, you know, on the top of my list.
Rush Limbaugh used anal cysts, which you can't even use as a deferment anymore to avoid Vietnam. And again, when these people want to slam Bill Clinton and call Bill Clinton a draft dodger, Bill Clinton's number never came up. Bill Clinton was opposed to the war, and he said if he had been called, he would have gone.
Yep.
These guys were all supported the war. That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's
and by the way,
they supported it, and they still avoided going.
Well, and by the way, Wilkerson and Powell was not opposed to the Iraq War. He, you know, obviously Cheney. As he did to all the rest of us, fed him the wrong information.
Right.
Powell couldn't have been a bigger cheerleader for the Iraq War. He's the reason that, you know, he was the one voice of credibility to the international community, and that's why he was propped up there to justify the war with Tenet sitting right behind him in the UN.
Yep. Wilkerson said, from what I've read, Cheney seems to criticize everyone, including Bush, Rice, Powell, Armitage, a host of others, except himself. Waterboarding is a war crime, unwarranted surveillance, all of which are crimes. I don't care whether the president authorized him to do it or not, they're crimes. I mean, that's the point we've gotten to, right, John, where he can sit on TV and advocate. I mean, it should be more evidence for the Hague. It's going, yes, waterboarding, yes, we should do it again. We should still be doing it. And he can't explain why it's not a war crime when we do it, and it was when they did it to us.
And you saw what happened yesterday on the Today Show when Dick Cheney went in front of a tough interviewer for the first time. Mm-hmm. Normally, he just goes over to Fox News, and Sean Hannity lubes up his head, I mean, for the insertion. With Matt Lauer, God bless him for getting on to Cheney's case, because with Cheney's rationale, any other country can torture American citizens if they get them. I mean, if an American soldier is shot down or a spy is found in Iran, he's just said, go ahead and torture. He's given the green light to do it. Now, Ronald Reagan signed a ban against torture. And at the end of World War II, we sentenced Japanese generals who had done waterboarding to 15 years hard labor. There is no question. It's torture. When they say it's simulated drowning, it's not simulated at all. You're drowning a guy, and you stop before he dies.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good point, John. I mean, that really it was like a version of bring it on. I mean, there will probably be Americans tortured and killed because of what Dick Cheney just said on TV. I mean, it's you're right. It's a
And regarding Bring It On, you know, Bring It On is the only time in American history a commander-in-chief has encouraged other people to attack our troops.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, I mean, and how terrifying is it that, you know, Wilkerson basically confirmed what we all knew is that this guy was president. He said something happened to Dick Cheney. It wasn't just 9/11. He wanted desperately to be president of the United States. He knew the Texas governor was not steeped in anything but baseball. So we knew he was going to be president. And I think he got his dream. He was president for all practical purposes for the first term of the Bush administration. I mean,
Exactly. And he admits as much in the book, because Cheney hates Bush. The fact that Bush refused to pardon Scooter Libby is still sticking with Cheney. He's furious about it. And when you consider that there were three guys who essentially outed Valerie Plame, Armitage, Scooter, and Rove. I mean, we can give, they're like the unholy trinity of outing Valerie Plame, but only Cheney's right-hand guy was indicted for it. And the fact that, you know, Scooter got all of his jail time dismissed but wouldn't get a full pardon has infuriated Cheney, and he still bears a grudge against Bush.
Yeah,
you'll notice you don't hear anyone talk in the Bush about any of it.
And nobody has yet explained to me why that's not treason, outing a CIA agent during wartime.
Of
you know what I mean?
It is. Yeah. Of course it is. But of course, when they do it, it doesn't matter. And the great thing, you know, I had this thing last night on Twitter and Facebook for people to submit the, you know, any Cheney jokes. And you have your Republicans weighing in just saying, oh, yeah, blame Cheney. And it's like, well, we'll stop blaming them when you guys start doing it, you know? When are the Republican people of conscience going to stand up and say how disgusting this was, how un-American the torture was? Ron Paul's the only guy on the GOP with the guts to stand up and say that the Iraq War was a direct violation of the Constitution, which which only Congress can declare war. Congress hasn't declared war since 1941.
And when does the mainstream media stop for just for getting access, stop calling something, you know, what it is? I mean, waterboarding, it's not a opinion topic, the way Dick Cheney keeps bringing it up. I mean, somebody needs to say this is a war crime. We have always called it a war crime. I mean, it just...
Well, I liked when Dick Cheney came out on Matt Lauer and talked about how, you know, he did things that weren't all that popular. And by popular, we mean legal.
Legal, right.
Yeah, like it's unpopular to shoot your friend in the face after drinking all day in the woods.
Yeah.
Outing a spy and humiliating our own CIA in the eyes of the world is not popular. You know, he comes out and says the program was safe, legal, and effective. The torture program was safe, legal, and effective. Dick Cheney is stealing taglines from the pro-choice community. I mean, it's just so sad. And again, you know, the media still thinks that we have to give the illusion of balance. And balance means let's give, you know, clear crimes equal footing.
Yeah.
This false equivalency that is really keep making our media into a joke and really making America lose their moral center. I mean, folks, what are you going to compare this to? You know, I'm not saying that he's worse than Idi Amin. I'm not saying that he eats the people Idi Amin ate. But when we can be Americans and stand by and let this guy do things that Ronald Reagan banned, and conservatives are defending him still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely right. I, you know, that's the thing. He can go on Rush Limbaugh's show and have him, Rush, say, "You're a great man." It's like, he is a war criminal. I'm sorry. And you're absolutely right. There are different degrees. People are going to go, "Oh, you're comparing him to people like Idi Amin or Saddam Hussein." It's like, no, but, you know, like you say, legal's still legal, and evil is still evil, no matter, you know, what form it takes.
Exactly right. And by the way, it's worth pointing out, yesterday was the day that Rush Limbaugh said that Colin Powell is going to support Barack Obama for re-election because melanin is thicker than
water. Because he's black. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, I know. I know. All right. Ecclesiastical Mook, I have a question regarding Michelle Bachmann and God when we continue. All right.
So
Well, when we come back.
Thanks.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue. It feels weird. Cattywampus, Wednesdays are Fugle Sang.
I know, right?
We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
What if
Stephanie Miller
was one of us? Just a flawed like one of us.
I'm not the one. Rick Perry is the one, according to James Inhofe.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one God wants.
Oh, boy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, along with Ecclesiastical Mook, John Fugelsang, sexy liberal himself, actually on the phone, not in the New York Bureau.
That's right. Yeah, Rick Perry is the one God wants. God loves Rick Perry so much that he lets Rick Perry just execute 232 people for him.
Yeah.
If God wanted anybody dead, folks, he'd smite them himself.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. How did I know that Senator Jim Inhofe he's become the first United States Senator, John, to endorse a candidate.
Well, he said he was the one. Below.
What's that?
It's Perry's to blow. And we saw last week Romney had this strategy of lying back and waiting for Perry to self-implode. And that didn't happen in a week. So now Romney's going on the attack against Perry, calling him a career politician.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney, whose dad ran for president, whose brother ran for attorney general. Mitt Romney, who's been a governor, who ran for senator, and
he's a regular guy,
is now calling him a career politician.
He's a regular small businessman. You know
exactly
how he is. Inhofe says he's supporting Perry because of his pledge to dismantle EPA regulations, because, as you know, Jim Inhofe, a well-known climate change skeptic.
Yes, well, for too long, we, the American people, have labored under the burden of clean air and water.
Yes.
And it's costing jobs, folks, okay? It's hurting profits. And I'm pro-growth enough to say that it's time to give some backseat action to clean air and water. It's just incredible. And we don't hear the media ever coming out and saying, you guys are insane. I mean, you know, this is why the libertarian fantasy won't work either. Because I love talking to my libertarian friends about how, you know, let's abolish the Fed. Well, that's never going to happen. Wall Street won't let it happen. And maybe you can audit the Fed. But, you know, I ask all your libertarian friends, can you name one society where your little Somalia fantasy land of no regulation, no government protection for anything has worked?
Yeah.
What business is going to want to do business in a country where all 50 states have different regulations? It's all crazy, and the liberal media are the ones not asking the tough questions.
Yeah. All right, we are, we have other more God-related questions with Bachman, but let's go back to the devil currently, Dick Cheney. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John Fugelsang. Hi, Gene.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Calling in as the official psychologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Good morning.
You bet. Good morning. I just wanted to remind people that there's no mystery here in why people behave the way that Dick Cheney does. He has a personality disorder or two or three.
Right.
And it's pretty easy to Google it and find the characteristics. These people have no shame or guilt. If they feel badly, it's not because they did something wrong. It's because they got caught. They have no empathy. They think they're more important than they are. They will do anything to get what they want.
He's Gene, I know you are an actual psychologist. He is truly a sociopath, isn't he?
Yeah, we have a different name for it now, but that's the vernacular.
Okay. What's the name for it now?
Antisocial personality disorder.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. All right. It sounds nicer, doesn't it? Joe in Spokane on Dick Cheney as well. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well,
yes.
You know, look, you can pick on Dick all you want there, but, you know, while he was in office, he kept us safe. I mean, other than 9/11.
Other than the worst failure in our history.
And the anthrax
attacks. And, you know, of course, the 5,000 Americans who died for nothing in Iraq. But, hey, other than that, he kept us safe.
You're such a stickler, Joe. All right. Chris, can you take your organ out, please?
Yes.
It wasn't quite 5,000 Americans in Iraq yet, but, you know, believing American combat in Iraq is over is like Heidi Montag's body. It feels really good, but it ain't necessarily real. Thank you.
Okay. Now, you know the firestorm that Ms. Michelle Bachman, she joked about, you know, Hurricane Irene being a message from God.
Yes.
She said the Hurricane Irene and the East Coast earthquake were directed at Americans' politicians. She told an audience gathered at the temple in Sarasota, Florida, that God was trying to communicate a message about the fiscal responsibility via the two natural disasters. And then, of course, her spokesman said it was a joke. The clip circulated that shows her clearly smiling and laughing.
Just taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
Well, there goes one more commandment.
Yeah, but I mean, people died, obviously, and, you know.
Yeah, people died because God's upset about our budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty funny that she says this, because Jesus, you know, if you believe in the Bible, God's son came down and said, did you visit me in prison? Did you help me out when I was poor? Did you heal me when I was sick? And his friend said, when were you all these things, God? And he goes, not me, whatever you do, the least of my people. So if you didn't visit somebody in prison, if you didn't help the sick, if you didn't help the poor, you did it to me. That's the message of the Bible. But these are the folks who like to go straight from the golden calf to the left behind gospel, and they ignore all the teachings of liberal Jesus because it goes against everything in their creed.
Mm-hmm. So the thing that she said yesterday that we had a lot of letters about, she said Jesus Christ created the universe. We were a little confused,
mm-hmm.
but somebody was saying there is some basis for that in
The Holy Trinity is considered
the Holy
one.
Trinity. If you go by the Holy Trinity, then yes, mm-hmm. Jesus did create the universe because God consists of three entities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So God is these three things. Of course, this was made up by St. Augustine hundreds of years later, which makes it count as Bible fan fiction.
Yeah.
You know, like the Godfather 3 may have sucked, but at least it was made by the guys who did Godfather 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Well, the rapture and the Trinity, it's all very fascinating stuff that was written hundreds of years after the Bible was done. So, really, she's just kind of making it all up.
Well, she previously, as you know, revealed that when she was state senator, she asked God for guidance, and through prayer, she knew that she was supposed to introduce the marriage amendment. So, God just let her know about the gay bashing. And she also said that God gave her and her husband visions of marrying one another prior to their first meeting, and also God obviously no gaydar as well, God asked her called on her to run for Congress.
Yeah, well, she also said the Lion King was gay propaganda, too.
Yeah.
You know, I respect anybody who's opposed to gay marriage and in one. But, you know, Michelle Bachman at this point is being kept around to entertain us. The liberal media loves her more than anything. She's the new Sarah Palin. You'll see more coverage of her on MSNBC than anywhere because liberals love to hate her. She's never going to get the nomination. Believe me, if she won the nomination, she could win every primary, and Wall Street would guarantee she wouldn't get the nomination at the convention. She's just a sideshow, and the challenge is going to be, how do we link the nominee to her as much as possible?
She must have the same sort of, God must give the same sort of visions to Liza Minnelli, apparently, because those are clear visions. who one should marry, apparently. John Fugel saying you're filling in for me Friday and then all next week.
All next week.
On vacation.
And then we got some great guests.
Yeah. And then when we're back, we have a full sexy liberal calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, East Lansing, Michigan is going to be such an exciting date. It's our first actual fundraiser for the Sexy Liberals. And if you're anywhere in the Midwest, get over to East Lansing for this show at the Wharton Center. It's going to be a riot, and it marks the return of Hal Sparks for the tour.
Yeah, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Thanks, honey. I'll see you when I get back.
See you when you get back.
All right, there he goes, John Fugel saying. 58 minutes after the hour, the Bill O'Reilly story. Next on the Stephanie Miller
Show. Oh,
that's juicy. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Roseanne DeMauro, Executive Director of the National Nurses United, joins us this hour. And then Ari Berman from The Nation.
Yeah.
Next hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive Producer Chris LeBoy, Voice Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Joe in Spokane on Dick Cheney. Hello, Joe.
Actually, it's Mike Stepp in Chicago.
Yeah. You what?
It's Mike in Chicago. No,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right, Rebecca's drunk. Go ahead.
You know why all these European countries are so mad at us? We have a vice president who is going on television bragging about torturing people, and our judicial system is doing nothing about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to France tomorrow, and I'm going to get treated worse than ever. Thanks a lot, Dick. Thanks for having your book come out right now,
Dick.
Right before I go to Europe.
He reminds me of the gopher from... where after so many times Bill Murray, you know, he just keeps messing things up, he starts flaunting in front of him and starts putting his head out of the hole and starts dancing around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Dick Cheney's been doing, and no one does anything about it.
I know, exactly. I know, I think it's just me. I can't even watch him. Hello, Jim Ward.
Hello. I'm so thrilled that Dick Cheney listens to the show because
yes.
I created Dick Vader.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you,
with
Dick.
The coffee cup.
Thanks, Dick. I hope you're paying for the podcast.
But as part of a regular line from the train. Yeah. Now go bleep yourself with the Andromeda Galaxy.
As John Fugel said that, you know, Dick, at least Darth Vader fought in his own wars.
Exactly.
Yes.
That was brilliant.
Do you know how many coffee cups Jim Ward has gone through doing the Darth
Should we do it
Cheney?
The whole time?
Well,
we
that's Randy's version of it. She called him Darth Cheney. She started doing, Lou, I'm Darth Cheney. 15 after.
Oh, come on. Come on, you Jim Ward imitators. Let's go. All right. All right. Mike and Raleigh, we were saying yesterday, Michelle Bachmann sounded like she said, who likes white people?
Yeah.
But she was actually was raining, and she said, who likes wet people?
Yes.
Which I think it seemed funnier because it's dirty. Okay.
I don't think Marcus appreciates wet people. They aren't out there.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Who likes wet people? Who likes wet people?
Yay.
We like sweaty people. Who likes sweaty people? We like sweaty people.
Whee!
Yay!
Whee! Did you hear, Jim, that Michelle Bachmann said that God gave she and Marcus visions that they should marry each other before they met?
Well,
it could have been the migraine.
That's what it sounds like. I think Marcus was having an entirely different vision.
Or maybe God says, Marcus, you were born that way. Don't marry that crazy bitch. I'm just saying, who knows what he said.
I'm sure every time they have intimate relations, he has visions of other things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like
they're religious
dogs.
Nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The important thing is, listener Ike realizes that we do not have a Sinatra version of...
You're a lying sack
of
crap.
Yes. You know me, I have the Sinatra
You're
channel all the time.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
Just a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
Well, you're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack.
Yes.
Of liquid.
Hey.
Nelson Riddle in the orchestra.
Yes.
On Casio.
That was great.
That was fantastic.
Ask my friends. I have seriously snuff on all the time.
I know you do.
I cannot get enough of my old people music. All right.
That
wow.
Thrash metal.
Mm. Yeah, that's her thing.
I have to get a new iPad. Why, Chris?
Because you gave me your iPad 1.
Yes. Why? Because I'm so generous.
You are.
I love you, and also it's not 3G. So.
yeah, you need 3G. You do.
This would be me, because, you know, I'm not that technologically inclined. A woman buys a block of wood with Apple logo on it, thinking it's an iPad.
Oh.
She got
it
cheap, though. That's the important thing. Hmm. Love this story from Gawker.com. The spectacularly stupid Ashley McDonald was approached by two men in a McDonald's parking lot where they offered to sell her an iPad for $300. She only had $180, but they gave it to her anyway. When she got home, she found out it was really a block of wood with an Apple logo painted. There's McDowell, Gawker says, thinking she scored the deal of a lifetime at the South Carolina Mickey D's and paid $180 for a piece of wood in a FedEx box. Apparently, the con men selling her the goods claimed they thought they bought them in bulk and they were selling them at a discount. So then she calls the cops and they launch an investigation into her stupidity. Sorry, lady, but if you bought this story, the $180 should be considered a stupid tax and the crook should get to keep it. No, you can't take it out of the box. Here.
No, don't look at it. Don't look at it. It'll blind you if you look at it here in the parking lot of the McDonald's.
Yeah. It's like the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. Don't look at it.
Your face will melt off like a Nazi.
Oh, boy. All right. So what else is all doing is sexyliberal.com. Oh, I believe John Fugelsang got some new pictures up from Detroit.
Nude pictures?
New pictures. Okay. New pictures from Detroit going up today, I'm told, on Sexy Liberal Facebook. And as he said, we have our next one out of the box when we come back in September. Yeah.
After cracking up the Queen of Soul in Detroit, the Queen of Talk Radio is returning to Michigan.
Another night in Michigan.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is proud to announce their return engagement to support the Clinton County Democratic Party.
This calls for a sexy party.
On September 17th at the Wharton Center in East Lansing, the Sexy Liberal crew is coming back to you, Michigan. John Fugelsang, the divine heretic of political humor. Hal Sparks, rebel rocker and Hollywood rabble rouser. And Stephanie Miller, our favorite happy clappy Democratic cheerleader.
The whole thing sounds a darn Democratic.
Get your tickets at thewhartoncenter.com or by calling 1-800-WHARTON. That's 1-800-942-7866. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Wharton Center on September 17th. Spartans of Michigan, yes we can again. Because
this is Sparta!
All right. But first, Jim, I'm, by the way, I'm, as you know, a lot of luckier than I am smart. And so my friend, remember yesterday I was talking about how I left my driver's license at Detroit Airport for the last Sexy Liberal because I've had an hour of sleep in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was listening that actually worked there, and she talked to me yesterday.
The one who upgraded you.
Yes. She said not to mention that again.
Oh, okay.
She's going to get her fired.
Oh, dear. All right.
Anyway. She FedExed it back. I'm getting it today. My driver's license back because I'm really lucky.
Let's just hope that someone is around to catch the FedEx man. Otherwise, you'll have to drive to the FedEx store, and you're not going to want to do that.
You're going to have to go meet somebody in a McDonald's who gives you your license back in a box for $180.
So flying bad enough. Flying internationally. Oh, boy. Did I mention I'm flying back on September 11th?
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
Great.
Uh-huh. Internationally. However, this is, you'd think somebody, because you know they have the new body scanner things. You do that thing, you know, your hands above your head now and you take a little x-ray.
I haven't flown since they've implemented those.
Oh.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
I don't know how this guy thought he can get away with this. TSA, man hid 7 snakes and 3 tortoises in his pants.
Wow.
That's fairly easy to spot, I would think, on the x-ray.
Yeah.
The TSA says a man tried to board a flight from Miami to Brazil with nylon bags filled with exotic snakes and tortoises hidden in his pants. There's a story like this a day, almost.
Snakes in your pants? Really?
TSA spokesman says the man was stopped after passing through the body scanner at Miami International.
Were they snapping
they
said, turtles?
Wouldn't the moving lumps give away...
Where they said, sir, is that 7 snakes in your pants? Or are you just excited?
Yeah.
I don't understand why so many people try to do that. Smuggle animals in their orifices.
Well, apparently you can get a lot of money for selling exotic animals.
You can just sell fake blocks of wood and call them iPads in a McDonald's parking lot.
You'd fall for that.
Money.
It's an exotic snake. No, don't open it. Don't open the box.
All right. As much as I love the fake block of wood that was sold as an iPad on Gawker,
Oh, dear.
Not my favorite Gawker story.
They had a whole lot of good stuff yesterday.
Jim, have you read the fun facts from the Bill O'Reilly story on Gawker?
Why, no.
Why?
Do tell.
Yes, this is... who would have thought he would not be perhaps happily married?
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
The headline is how Bill O'Reilly tried to get his wife's boyfriend investigated by the cops. Huh? Boyfriend? He was a...
He bust my boyfriend!
He bust my boyfriend! Oh, dear. Imagine Bill O'Reilly not being enough man for you. Imagine
perhaps
not wanting
to... should have sprung for the leather couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
imitation leather couch.
Imagine not wanting to do it live with just Bill O'Reilly.
Do it live!
I bet you that's how he has sex. I bet you that's what it's like. I bet she's very aggressive, very demanding.
Do it live!
Very quick.
I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks.
Okay. All right. Last summer, Fox News anchor Bill O'Reilly came to believe that his wife was romantically involved with another man, according to Gawker.com, who has many, many sources.
Oh, dear.
Not
it's
just
the
any
same
man.
Like he cheated on, you know, while he was in Rome.
No, that's alleged as well. Allegedly.
Okay.
Not just any man, but a police detective in the Long Island community they call home. So O'Reilly did what any concerned husband would do. He pulled strings to get the police department's internal affairs unit to investigate one of their own.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Well, that was a mistake.
Uh-oh. Gawker says, we reported in June that Bill O'Reilly and his wife of 15 years, Maureen O'Reilly, seemed to be on the outs. Last summer, she purchased a separate home under her own name. Not generally a good sign.
No.
And transferred her voter registration to the new address while O'Reilly kept his registration current at their old address. As per usual, Fox News did not comment on the situation at the time. Since then, we've learned what happened. It's like Bridges of Madison County meets Copland. When confronted with a potentially disloyal spouse, O'Reilly reacted, not unlike his boss Roger Ailes, treating his local police department like a private security force trying to damage one cop's career for the sin of crossing Bill O'Reilly.
Wow.
Richard Harrism is the name, is a 23-year veteran of the Nassau County Police Department who, as of last summer, had been a detective in the Elite Internal Affairs Unit for 12 years. His job was to catch crooked cops, root out corruption, police the police. But at some point during the summer of 2010, his commanding officer, Inspector Neil Delargy, I guess, called him into his office with a highly unorthodox assignment. He was to launch an investigation into a fellow officer based not on what he had done, but who he was dating. He ordered him to meet with two private detectives working on behalf of Bill O'Reilly. They had information about an NCPD officer they had believed was carrying on an affair with O'Reilly's wife. DeLarge told Harrison to launch an investigation into the man to tell him to end the relationship. The guy's single, by the way, the cop.
Really?
Gawker's source, who is someone who has a longstanding personal relationship with Harrison and who heard the account directly from Harrison himself. The source provided contemporaneous email traffic to support his account. He told me, you'll never guess what happened to me the other day. Do you know Bill O'Reilly? I got called into my boss's office saying they want me to meet with these two PIs working for O'Reilly to go over some information because a detective was having an affair with O'Reilly's wife.
Oh,
wow.
According to our source, DeLargy offered to harass him no justification for investigating the detective who is unmarried, aside from the alleged infidelity. This is generally not what internal affairs for.
No. Not at all. Not for marriage counseling.
Oh, here's a wrinkle. O'Reilly was also at the time considering making a major donation to the Nassau County Police Department Foundation. Internal affairs detectives aren't accustomed to running personal errands and trolling for dirt on their colleagues at the behest of major donors to department projects.
Oh.
So it gets stickier from here. O'Reilly, by the way,
has a whiff of bribery, doesn't it?
Photo taken in February of last year, O'Reilly has stopped wearing his wedding ring. They're talking about how you can hide it. There are a number of ways to hide
if they're divorced.
Yes. Yeah. He said among the direct questions Fox News declined to answer is, are the O'Reillys currently married? She's been on tax returns up until the most recent return covering the tax year starting in October 2009, ending 2010. Her name no longer appears.
Really?
So it gets curiouser and curiouser, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, heavens. Oh, dear. Especially after the original unpleasantness, the whole, you know, phone sex.
Whatever.
The whole loofah thing.
Yes. Wow. All right.
Wow.
That's fun.
That's just good fun.
The whole thing sucks. Don't block the shot. Got it? Don't block the shot. You can block the shot. Get over there. We have a right to be here to shoot the shot. Gotta shoot the shot. Don't block the shot.
Oh, it's so fun how thin-skinned he is.
All right.
I'm guessing wherever, I don't know.
Don't call me thin-skinned!
Mrs. O'Reilly currently is residing, she needs to go to my PC, because who knows where her home computer is, where, you know what I'm saying?
Could be anywhere.
We're all on the go these days. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think the record's skipping. There's part of that song missing.
Oh. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Oh, records.
Stuff
wow.
One, two. Records. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. One question first is your sense of ennui making you go to gay Paris?
Yes. Yes. I am going to reclaim my je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we're talking about, like, war criminals on TV.
Yes.
Let's talk about George W. Bush's show opening up a National Geographic Channel thing.
Yeah.
There's one thing people don't realize. Fox News owns the National Geographic Channel.
God, yeah. No wonder.
And so when they said it was like Fox, it was Fox.
Yeah.
And Jim, this is into your corner. When George W. was talking in the thing saying, well, I want to get back to Washington and do some deciding decisions and find out who's behind all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know who was behind all the attacks. But earlier in the exact same show, he said that they landed in some Air Force base in Oklahoma on 9/11. And they're driving around, and the guy who's driving went real fast, and he said, slow down, son. Al-Qaeda isn't on this Air Force base.
Uh-huh.
Now, if he's saying Al-Qaeda's on the Air Force base.
On 9/11.
And then he's later on saying, well, I had to go back and figure out who was behind this.
Right.
You know, big, fat, effing lie.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Al-Qaeda is us. We created Al-Qaeda. It was just a database of the Mujahideen we used to throw the Soviets out of Afghanistan.
By the way, you know, yeah. I've often said that
it must be nice to always believe you know better, to always think you're the smartest person in the room.
Yep.
No, it's awful.
It really is awful. However, I said yesterday on my wildly popular segment, what the Fox? Did I say was it going to be all over Fox?
Yes.
And that is the president's half-brother uncle got arrested for DUI.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Malkin uses, the headline is, Malkin uses Obama's uncle's arrest to accuse administration of being friendly to terrorists. Yes.
Whoa, that's
yes.
a stretch.
Yes.
What? How does she manage that?
Fox News contributor Michelle Malkin today is seized on the arrest of President Obama's uncle. This is his deceased father who he met once, his brother, half-brother, something. Okay.
Something like that.
To attack the administration's immigration policy.
Oh, this coming from noted anchor baby Michelle Malkin?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She concluded with a contributor to her blog who said, if the president was serious about rounding up illegals, he'd host a family reunion and have ICE throw a net over the South Lawn. That's some humor about
it. Just see what skeletons are in Michelle Malkin's closet.
Well, I've heard, her parents were illegals, uh-huh. if she wants to use that term.
Mm.
Yeah, throw an ICE net over her backyard, perhaps.
Yeah.
Family reunion, see what's what. Yeah. Who
project
sort of
much?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Oh dear, Christine O'Donnell has been dropped from the Tea Party rally. They won't let her play in any of their crazy reindeer games anymore. Boy, when you're too crazy for the Tea Party, you.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
You are really
She probably
crazy.
Would have left the stage in a huff anyway.
She.
Yeah.
How dare you! Look at
this
me.
This sexual
while
harassment.
I'm talking.
You're looking at me. Stop looking at me. Why aren't you looking at me? She will not speak at a Tea Party event featuring Sarah Palin in Iowa this weekend. The Tea Party co-founder said the group withdrew her invitation after receiving numerous emails from a lot of Tea Party folks that were very disappointed she'd be speaking. They decided not to have her speak. We felt it was in the best interest of the movement. She makes us look, I don't know, like stupid and crazy or something. Okay, 28 minutes after the hour. Roseanne DeMauro next and the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Are you sure?
Stephanie Miller.
You're really ready?
Yes, yes. I'm ready to quit drinking.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, thank God.
playing all the hits.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Pop
Show.
Pop song 1889.
34 minutes after the hour. Roseanne DeMauro, executive director of the National Nurses United, by the way, has won national recognition from a major healthcare and industry publication as one of the 100 most influential people in healthcare for the 10th straight year in a row. Congratulations, Roseanne.
Oh, thank you. It's quite something when the opposition camp nominates you and elects you is like in the every year in the top 10. So,
well, it's because you do stuff like this. The Registered Nurses Across America's Call on Wall Street to Help Heal America. What an amazing idea! Tell us about that.
Well, I think what the lessons that we've taken from the last decade are that how shallow and superficial our legislative structure actually is. When you consider the fact that the Tea Party, with virtually no organization can essentially whiplash the entire Congress, you realize that there's basically no there. And ultimately, you know, we invested our hope in Obama's, rant on hope, and that didn't work. And the right is obviously on doing away with any real notion of society, so there's no social structure that actually sustains our communities, our cities, our states. And ultimately, you got to look at all this and say, who's going to actually speak and help organize the people? And it's, you know, the nurses. I mean, the nurses,
right.
it just, they're so logical to step forward and do this because essentially they heal America every minute of every day in this country.
Right. And tell us what, because this is tomorrow, September 1st, you're going to converge, nurses going to converge on 60 congressional offices.
Well, 61, actually.
61, okay. From Maine to California, nurses joined by others demanding action on the economic crisis will call on Congress members in their local district offices tomorrow to support a tax on Wall Street financial speculation, a revenue source fast becoming an international norm to pay for healing the nation. How'd you come up with this idea?
You know, the financial transaction tax is actually a very popular idea throughout Europe, and it's under major consideration and will undoubtedly pass. The United States and the Obama administration has been dismissive of such an idea on Wall Street here, even though the concentration of wealth is the greatest in the history of the United States, and essentially they're using our money to play with. I mean, they're gambling. The boys are gambling with each other.
Institutions,
right? I mean, it's a big the casino. And so that's where the money is. The same reason Jesse James robbed banks. It's where the money is.
Right.
And ultimately, that money doesn't come back into the real economy. It doesn't create goods. It doesn't create services. It doesn't create jobs. It doesn't give us health care. And, in fact, it robs our communities blind, and there's nothing going back in. And so we're saying, payback time.
Well, I think you've
got to pay back.
Right. I think you sum it up best. It's a way to make Wall Street pay for the devastation it's caused on Main Street.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's tremendous suffering out there, and people are giving up. They're frustrated. We have this campaign called Tell Me Where It Hurts, and we ask people across the United States to send us stories about what's going on in their families. And probably the greatest coup of the corporate Wall Street machine has been to make people ashamed of not having anything. People are devastated out there, and it's extremely scary, the letters that we're getting, because people are talking about suicide, they're talking about despair, and the depth of that, and the real wages of people who are working are going down and diminishing because they're caring for so many other people in their families. And in the meantime, if there were just, you know, a one time, just one, you know, 10% surcharge on the most wealthy in this nation, we could essentially wipe out the deficit. So all of this, you know, the Wall Street Deficit Commission, there's no one playing for the American people. And so the nurses who are in every community across this country and care for everyone are stepping forward and saying,
well, and as you say, I think that, you know, we all see it up close. I know I have at least, a couple of close personal friends and family members, you know, that we really see suffering and struggling financially, and the fact that it's gone on so long.
And they're suffering in silence. You know, there aren't. What's really sad is, you know, we're having soup lines, we're having town criers, we're having puppets, we're doing everything to kind of illustrate the depth of how these our legislators have essentially ignored their communities. What we're doing is taking the amount of money the financial institutions give to these legislators, and this 61 is only the beginning. We're gonna go all the way across this country. The amount of money that Wall Street has given to these legislators, the amount of unemployment in their community, the number of uninsured in their community, and we're gonna actually, you know, meet your constituents. It's like, you know, Mr. Rogers, who are the people in your neighborhood? We found dealing in Washington D.C. is an entire waste of time. The lobbyists own the place. The lobbyists run the place. We went back to D.C. One of our nurses went in to talk to one of our progressive legislators, ironically, about the financial transaction tax, and the legislator staff said to the nurse, you nurses need to lower your expectations.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
nurse turned
you
to
need
her.
To stop taking care of people so much.
Well, the nurse
yeah.
turned to her and said, how would you like for me to say that when I'm prepping you for surgery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think you sum it up best here in the release. You know, everyday Americans are hurting. They need jobs, health care, housing, quality education, nutrition, a secure retirement. Not more cuts has been the obsession of this Congress. So people can go to nationalnursesunited.org. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we really would like for people to come out and join us in the legislative districts. You know, on Thursday, we're all the way across the country, we're having We'll be feeding the homeless. We'll be illustrating the entire corruption of this Congress. And I mean, it's just, somebody's got to call the question. And unfortunately, I always say heroes aren't made. They're cornered. And we're cornered in America. And the nurses are stepping forward. And it's a pretty proud moment, actually.
Well, it's always a proud moment when we get to have you on. Roseanne DeMauro, Executive Director of National Nurses United. Thanks so much, Roseanne.
Thank you for having us.
You will talk again soon. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Hooray. Yay,
awesome.
Nurses.
I've met her in person. Yay.
Have you really?
Yay, nurses. Yay.
Yay.
Don't mess with them. I'm telling you what.
No.
Arnold Schwarzenegger got the political enema of his life when he messed with the nurses. Let me just tell you what, out here in California.
That's right.
Kirsten in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kirsten.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Wanted to give you guys a little update. As I was getting ready for work this morning, it looks like Christine O'Donnell got re-invited because they could not find anyone to fill her spot, so they asked her back, and pathetically, she accepted to
come back. She is irreplaceable. They're just such a crazy mixed-up bunch, those teabaggers, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So I just wanted to give you that little tidbit of information.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, isn't that nice? She needs company. You know why?
Why?
Her book tour.
Oh, is it a sad little book tour?
It's not going very well. She has tried everything to bring attention to her book release tour, mostly by walking out of interviews and claiming that Piers Morgan was making inappropriate sexy talk with her.
Yeah. By asking her about something she said.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
How long can she milk these brief flare-ups to extend the last second or 15 minutes? A trick question, she cannot. This is at Gawker.com as well. Wonkette catches this item from the Florida News Press from late last week about a very sad stop on the O'Donnell book tour, even in, quote, staunchly Republican Naples.
Mm-hmm.
Only a couple of people turned out, most notably a delusional crazy person and a lowly prankster. Still, O'Donnell took the turnout of five people. That's five.
Five.
Members of the media.
Ones of people.
Members of the media outnumbered outnumbered customers at Barnes & Noble and Stride. God bless you, Tom, she told Tom Bruisi of Fort Myers, who said he's launching his own presidential campaign.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
I like her, Bruisi said. She's kind of a rogue like me.
Oh, yeah.
Is that guy was there.
Campaign on Mars, by any chance?
Thank you. I love that this story was able to use the entire name because there were only two people. So they were able to really do like profiles of the people there.
Wow.
Thank you for coming out today, O'Donnell said to Louise Campo of Naples. She interests me. She's very conservative, Campo said. O'Donnell, a Christian, then politely turned down a request from a young man who asked her to sign his book on demonology instead of a copy of her book. Because she's not a witch.
That's funny. I want to talk to that guy.
Wow.
Just a prankster and the other guy that's also running for president because he's a rogue.
Yes. Because that's what we need in office is a rogue.
Okay. We need a team of mavericks. Don't you just picture her there just with cobwebs at the book signing table?
Yeah.
Anybody? Who else needs
books?
No? Okay.
Want me to talk about masturbation? Huh? No? Okay.
Oh, heavens, that's just sad. All right.
How dare you, Piers Morgan?
Wow, look who else is up next in the Republican crazy shoot. Republican representative who promised to eradicate homosexuality and if he were God will challenge openly gay Tammy Baldwin.
Oh, boy.
Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
He would, wow, eradicate it entirely. Mm-hmm. So we'd be just like Iran where they don't have that there.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm a dinner jacket said they don't got that.
Doesn't exist.
Nope. We don't got that here.
Not at all.
Okay, former Wisconsin, so many crazy Republicans, so little time. Former Wisconsin Representative Mark Newman, Republican. You know, there's no need to even put the R in the story. I can get it. It's probably Republican.
Okay. Well, yeah.
As announced, he will run for the state's open Senate seat in 2012, likely challenge former Governor Tommy Thompson for the party's nomination. In declaring his candidacy, he predicted he will face openly gay Representative Tammy Baldwin in the general election, who's also expected to announce in the coming weeks. Newman first may have to answer for several homophobic remarks he made in the 1990s. Hmm. When, as a freshman congressman, he told the New York Times that if I was elected God for a day, homosexuality wouldn't be permitted. But nobody's electing me God. Oh, well, if it were an option, I'm sure we would.
Yeah.
He also said, if somebody walks into me and says, I'm a gay person, I want a job in your office, I would say, that's inappropriate. And they wouldn't be hired because that would mean they're promoting their agenda.
Mm.
The gay and lesbian lifestyle is unacceptable, lest there be any question about that.
Can he do that?
Well, that technically that's illegal.
Kind of illegal.
If your point is that it's illegal,
right.
Yes.
Okay. Who else complains
just
about
their,
the
but
gay
their gayness is inappropriate.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just rude.
Mm-hmm.
It's rude.
They have cooties.
Yes.
And who else is talking about the gay agenda? Oh, yeah. Marcus Bachmann.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. He got a vision that he from God that he was supposed to marry Michelle Bachmann.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
God's a prankster.
They both did. Michelle Bachmann said they both had visions from God that they were supposed to marry each other.
Mm.
I wonder, like, what if her thought bubble, it was just a beard. It was just a giant, it was like just a big beard. I'm guessing from that vision, God, that what you mean is...
His vision was a corn dog.
Yeah. 46.
That need to be disciplined.
Oh, boy.
What?
Okay. 46 minutes after the hour, the president's big job speech next week. Right back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. This is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. And the lady is
Stephanie Miller.
She's a lady.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, 2:51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. The president speaking. Let's see what he's saying.
Catch up. We should be leading the world. 10 years ago, our nation's infrastructure was ranked 6th globally. Today, it's 23rd.
Hmm.
We invest half as much in our infrastructure as we did 50 years ago, with more than one and a half the number of people. Everybody can see the consequences.
Yep.
And that's unacceptable for a nation that's always dreamed big and built big, from transcontinental railroads to the interstate highway system. And it's unacceptable when countries like China are building high-speed rail networks and gleaming new airports, while more than a million construction workers who could be doing the same thing are unemployed right here in America.
That's right. Which is why we need
to
cut the deficit.
So when Congress is back next week, in addition to passing these clean extensions to prevent any halt on existing work, we're going to have a serious conversation in this country about making real, lasting investments in our infrastructure, from better ports to a smarter electric grid, from high-speed internet to high-speed rail. And at a time when interest rates are low and workers are unemployed, the best time to make those investments is right now, not once another levy fails or another bridge falls.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right now is when we need to be making these decisions. Now's the time for Congress to extend the transportation bill, keep our workers on the job. Now is the time to put our country before party and to give certainty to the people who are just trying to get by. There is work to be done. There are workers ready to do it. And that's why I expect Congress to act immediately. And all the folks
good
who are here on the stage, thank you for the outstanding work you're doing in helping to maintain our nation's infrastructure. Thank you very much, Eric.
Oh, Eric Cantor is going to act immediately
by just gonna say,
cutting benefits
canoe.
To people in return for maybe getting some better help.
I know. Can you believe this? You really
bitch,
like...
please.
Seriously, once again, it's a first. Never in our history have we held the debt ceiling hostage to cuts. Disaster, really?
Uh-huh.
Really? Adam's apple? Really? Eric Cantor won't support any hurricane disaster funding without massive cuts to first responders. Why, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
In the wake of Hurricane Irene, FEMA quickly running out of money, specifically FEMA's crucial disaster relief fund used to reimburse local governments and individuals for the cost of cleanup and repairs running dangerously low. Already payments for some projects are being delayed. Early estimates suggest the damage Irene could exceed $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Cantor, House Republican leadership appear to agree that more funds are needed, but won't help until President Obama and the Senate agree to more budget cuts. Here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday on Fox News, he made clear he would not support any additional funding unless matched with, quote, savings elsewhere. On Fox, he said he supported $1 billion in disaster relief funding as part of the Department of Homeland Security Appropriations Bill, which contained massive cuts to FEMA and first responders.
Tell those first responders to get their sticky hands off my chaise lounge.
As you know, his insistence on budget cuts to offset any expenditures. It's a recent phenomenon. During the Bush administration, he supported, why? Let's review. The Bush tax cuts, the Iraq war, and raising the debt limit five times without, guess how much? Without, guess how much in spending cuts? Not a penny! Mm-hmm. Not one penny! Not a penny.
Well, back then we had a different person in the White House. Someone who's not, well, you know, the help.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own limoncello.
And wait, there's more. If House Republicans get their way, not only will recovering from the effects of Hurricane Irene grow more difficult, but so will monitoring incoming hurricanes in general.
Great.
That seems like another good idea, and just in time. The House Appropriations Committee has approved cuts to funding for hurricane hunters. You know, the military planes that fly into hurricanes to measure and track them.
What a waste of money.
Senator Bill Nelson said the hurricane hunter program is worth its weight in gold. They have gotten such accuracy in prediction, not only the strength of a hurricane, but exactly its track.
Mm-hmm.
You cut back on those kind of expenses, that really is cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Oh, screw this hurricane crap. I'm going to Aspen. Women's Equality Day. Bitch, please.
That's Eric Cantor's bitchface.com.
Which is our...
No,
we never thought cats who look like Hitler would be replaced in our affections. And yet, here it is. Our new obsession.
Although I still like cats who look like Wilford Brimley.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do.
And men who look like old lesbians.com.
Well, yeah, there are lots of those.
Do they feed oatmeal to cats who look like Wilford Brimley?
Okay. The president.
Our economy has to grow faster. We have to create more jobs, and we have to do it faster. And most of all, we've got to break the gridlock in Washington that's been preventing us from taking the action we need to get this country moving.
When is the speech anyway? Next week. He's giving a major speech on job creation next week. He may propose steps to increase hiring directly, perhaps through tax credits and new work training programs, and indirectly by backing measures to stimulate consumer demand. He said Monday his initiatives would be bipartisan ideas that ought to be the kind of proposals that everyone can get behind.
No,
well, they ought
to
be, yes.
But they won't be.
Back in another America, but not the one with Deuce Canoe Eric Cantor in it.
Right.
The president.
You know, there are no magic bullets, because what we went through was the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah, some of the ideas are actually interesting that he's talking about. One of them, I think, is what he just was foreshadowing there, creating an infrastructure bank that would make loans to support highway rail and rail construction projects.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff he just said makes really good sense with the interest rates where they are. The president.
But I want to be absolutely clear. We cannot, we must not, we will not balance the budget on the backs of our veterans. As Commander-in-Chief, I won't allow it.
Yeah, he's got some, some more interesting ideas that are creating a tax credit for hiring returning veterans. Randy Rhodes was talking about this yesterday.
Great idea.
Yeah, I mean, that they ought to get a degree for the stuff they're trained for so they can come back.
A new GI Bill.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting ideas on what's going to be in the speech. We'll talk about that as we continue. And Ari Berman of The Nation, check us out.
Whoa.
That celebrity stack
That's
and
a
much.
Get, as they say.
Yeah. That celebrity stack and much more. And Mitt Romney gets ruffled.
He does.
Oh, my.
Woof, woof.
Yeah.
I've been ruffled. My hair almost moved.
Exactly. Mitt Romney's hair almost moved. We'll be back with all that on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Karen and Canton did. Mama, my husband and I gave up hope of seeing your sexy liberal show in Ohio. Oh, it's sexy liberal letter. Of seeing you in Ohio, decided we better get tickets somewhere before we miss out. We bought the meet and grope tickets to the Buffalo show, Mama's hometown. This is noteworthy since my husband and I have not been away from the kids overnight together since they were born 14 years ago.
Whoa.
This will truly be a big event for us. Let's check this out. My parents won't watch them overnight, especially since we're going to a liberal show. Instead, a nice lesbian couple will be babysitting for us all away. I'm pretty sure my parents' heads might explode. Looking forward to groping you all, having the weekend of my life. Sincerely, 7-year everyday listener, Karen in Columbus.
7 years.
Coming to Mama's hometown.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Stephanie Miller, a.k.a. Sister Sleaze, is slinking her way back to upstate New York. That means you, Buffalo.
Homeward bound, I wish I was.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
On November 19th at Shea's Performing Arts Center, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming home. And she's bringing her sleazy siblings, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Whether you're coming from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, or anywhere else, just jump on the transit and come see Mama. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Shea's Performing Arts Center on November 19th in Buffalo, New York. You can take the gal out of Buffalo, but you can't take Buffalo out of the gal.
Ouch, that sounds like a
Buffalo gal. So she's been listening for 7 years. We're coming up on our 7-year anniversary,
aren't
we?
Oh, dear God. Holy old cow. Who knew this would last? All right.
This is my longest job in radio.
Yeah, me too.
How did that happen?
Starting to get itchy. All right. Sexliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Lots of big shows coming up. Get your tickets now. Mama, by the way, I'm going to France tomorrow after the show. I've been waiting for years to say to you, Mooks.
Yeah.
I'm leaving you. I'm moving to France.
They don't take it well when you mangle their language, just so you know.
Mon Dieu.
No.
All right. Mike and Rolly has, for just this reason.
They'd rather you spoke German.
I can sing Silent Night in German.
Stille Nacht.
Yeah, exactly.
Heilige Nacht. Alles ruht.
All right.
Einsam.
Yeah, they're like, mangle someone else's language.
Nur das traute hochheilige Paar.
Oh, Jim, you have such a lovely voice.
Lockigen Haar.
All right.
Shouldn't do that while eating.
No. This is exactly why Mike and Raleigh has sent me a French lesson.
Vous êtes un sac de merde couché.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Awesome.
Vous êtes un sac de merde couché.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Vous êtes un menteur intrigant sac de merde puante méchant liquide.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Oh, boy. All right.
That's all you ever
need
to know.
Yeah, I should record myself for your entertainment pleasure when I come back. There was one restaurant I was looking at, and they said there's no English spoken. So I'll just be like,
Yeah.
I can already feel them hating me already.
Oh.
All right, and I don't understand. You're from Gawker.com, Europeans love non-alcoholic beer for some... I don't understand
what?
The
Since
point.
When?
I don't understand the point.
Well, if you're a major alcoholic and you just want to...
Well, then drink Kool-Aid.
That's what Gawker says.
But then you have the flavor of beer without having the
Who
actual
drinks beer
buzz.
For the flavor
by
itself?
Of course. That's part of it.
Gawker says non-alcoholic beer has long been the beverage of choice for everyone from delusional recovering alcoholics to people too drunk to notice they accidentally bought non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
Spain, number one in the favorite more non-alcoholic beer.
Huh.
No.
I don't think that's going to go over in Germany.
And yet they're the ones that wear red and encourage a bull to court them. You'd think they'd be drunk, but no.
Actually, people in Holland are bigger beer drinkers than Germany.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
But they ride it off because they're on their bicycles.
Yeah, that constantly. Is true.
Joanne in Napa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joanne. Oh, Joanna. Did I get that right?
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you for talking about them trying to get the hurricane hunters.
Yes.
Because as the official kindergarten teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show,
yes.
They said that it costs $12 million and we could save that money. But Ed said last night that they save over $130 million in pinpointing disasters.
Yeah.
So $130 million minus 12, do the math. I think they're evil.
Yeah, I mean, Joanna, it's literally like, remember Bobby Jindal gave that ridiculous speech and he's like, volcano monitoring? That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and almost like right behind him, Mount St. Helens blew up.
Yeah,
you know?
Mount St. Helens. But,
California, let's save money by not doing earthquake monitoring, okay?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. I know. Ridiculous. Morons. Am I saying that right?
Vian?
Vian. In Los Angeles. Hello.
Hi, Stephanie. It's Vian. That's fine. That's close enough. Just like Brian or Ryan.
Okay.
With a V. Weird story. Someday I'll tell you.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I'm calling because I want to explain something that a lot of people seem to miss. This is why Dick Cheney is not being prosecuted for torture. And it's a convoluted situation, but it goes back to the Military Commissions Act. In 2006, right after the Supreme Court restored habeas corpus to the Gitmo detainees, you look this up. This is Hamdan v. Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
That case scared the heck out of the Bush administration because it completely reversed what Cheney was saying about the Iranian torture situation. He says that an Iranian capturing an American, it would be different. You know, for American citizens than it would be for, you know, us handling KSM or what have you.
Right.
That's not true. Hamdan changed that because he restored habeas and allowed protections that are supposedly only for American citizens to also extend to torture detainees. So what the Bush administration did was change the War Crimes Act. That's very important.
Mm. Can you do that?
They modified the act so that it would match the Bybee standard. You guys are probably familiar.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've heard of everything you're talking about, but yeah, I mean, it really is. It is like, you know, moving your battleship and
when
you're playing battleship.
It's different when we do it.
Cheating.
Well, wait a minute. The War Powers Act was put in place by Congress. Only Congress can put in place something like that. Can the executive branch change? Something like that?
I don't see how.
I don't see how
Dick Cheney can go on television and admit that he's for waterboarding. It's like, well, okay.
Well, if the executive branch is threatening to shoot you in the face, then
yes.
I guess.
Well, okay, there is that.
Yeah, Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we liberals try to be helper people, so
yeah.
I can give Eric Cantor an easy way to save $81 million a year.
How's that?
Just don't pay any Republicans in Congress or the Senate.
There you go. There's okay. Cutting the fat.
Yeah, hang with the math, okay? I know math is hard for those right-wingers. But we have 287 Republicans in Congress and the Senate right now. Their average salary is $174,000 a year. Plus, they receive $110,000 a year funded by us taxpayers in retirement and health benefits.
Huh.
Do the math. You come up with $81 million, and we can pay for all the disasters
for
his district and for people.
We'll take that crazy socialist health care back from them. Good thinking.
Eric Cantor has an answer for her, though. You simply reek of public education.
Jan in Amherst, Mama's hometown. Hi, John.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
Hey, listen, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Uh-huh.
Obama's coming out with his jobs bill.
Which you already hate, I imagine.
No, well, no. Listen, I've already heard it, and what I'm trying to say is that we are not going to hear one.
He hasn't announced it.
Are you psychic?
Yeah.
How have you already heard it?
Yeah, he hasn't announced it yet, John.
Well, can I just say, and I'll call after email.
Okay. Oh, awesome. I'll look forward to that.
Happen. We're not going to hear one thing different than anything we've already heard.
Okay.
It's going to be exactly the same. Tax the rich. Let's rebuild the infrastructure. And can I say one thing about this, rebuilding schools and all this stuff?
Yeah, that's French and gay.
Who's been responsible. Oh, come on, Steph. You know, the parodies of us just don't work anymore.
Okay.
You know, we're not bad
they do for
people.
Me.
Listen. The people who have been responsible for making sure our schools are fit, our highways are done, have really done it poorly. And this is a government people. You know, these are people who get paid for it.
Because Republicans repeatedly vote against any kind of infrastructure funding of any kind. Yeah. That's the point the president was kind of make. Our infrastructure is, you know...
It's old.
Right. That's why it needs replacing.
They decimated infrastructure funding during the 2000s.
Yeah.
When Bush was president.
Mm-hmm. To pay for these stupid wars.
Exactly.
All right, because
and
I
tax
am
cuts for rich
more
people.
Psychic than John. Here's what the president's going to say next week. All right, well, these are just some ideas with things people think he's going to say.
Okay.
What he already foreshadowed, which I said creating an infrastructure bank, which I think is a dandy idea. Which is, by the way, new, John.
An infrastructure bank? Well, that's nuts. It's just going to be a room full of black guys.
Renewing, these are the fun facts. Renewing payroll cuts, payroll tax cuts, implementing a new higher tax credit, extending jobless benefits. Do I have to hear one more right-winger say it makes people lazy? And if you pay them, then they won't try to find a job. Are you? Is it anybody's goal to stay on unemployment? I really don't think so. And this, creating a, and also, it's the most stimulative. It's proven to be the most stimulative thing you can do. People spend it. Creating a tax credit for hiring returning veterans, which we talked about, ratifying pending trade deals, reforming the patent process, providing aid for teachers. It's aid to cities and towns to help them grow the number of teachers on their payrolls.
Teachers and veterans, what have they ever done for us? It's a lot of crap, Steph.
Proving.
Why are you always portraying us as bad? Where do you get that idea?
Improving rural broadband connections, providing job training. Oh, you know what? There's a spot on Fairfax I need to talk to him about. There's a cell always drops out. Is that considered rural?
Right there at Hollywood and Fairfax.
Every time.
Always
drops
out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's rural to me.
Sure. I totally get what
you're
saying.
You know what I'm talking.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, also a spot on Los Feliz Boulevard I need to talk to him about, too. the clockwork.
Also on Pico at Robertson.
Yes. Rural broadband, I'm all for it. Providing job training for the long-term unemployed. Obama has praised a Georgia program that provides 8 weeks of unpaid training at a local company for people receiving unemployment benefits. And as John just mentioned, funding a school renovation.
School renovation?
What? I mean, really.
But the schools are crap. Look at them. They're falling apart. That just proves that the government can't do anything right.
I think it's his flat A that makes him endearing.
That makes him so funny.
I think so.
People from the South complain that, you know, you make Southerners sound dumb. You can make
anybody sound dumb just by saying dumb things in an accent.
Whatever region they're from.
Yeah.
You know, California, whatever.
Why do I know that John's going to be in the front row of Sexy Liberal in Buffalo? And just after every joke, you'll hear him go, oh, that's a parody that doesn't work anymore. That's a stereotype.
Keep hearing the same old crap from you people.
He'll probably get the rock star cheer if I bring him up on stage. Hey, look, everybody, it's Jan. In Amherst. Look at this. It's a room full of black guys. Is that all that listens to you?
And, of course, if Eric Cantor were there, he'd say to John, OMG, you took a taxi? That's precious.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie.
Oh, 23 minutes after the hour. Just don't call that. Call 1-800-STEP-12.
Yeah. That's not the number.
Oh, okay.
Don't call that. Carolyn in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carolyn.
Good morning. I just wanted to let you guys know that I finally figured out what the two hardest jobs in the world are.
What's that?
The first one is daycare workers who are wonderful and make absolutely no money.
Right.
And
right.
You guys who have to talk to nimnuts all day.
Thank you, Carolyn. And very similar jobs. Thank you. We appreciate that. And as you can probably tell, we're in our pre-vacation summer August ditch that we get in most years.
Yeah. Kind of.
Slow news month. We want to be on vacation.
Everybody in D.C. is on vacation, yeah. So we don't have, like, you know, congressional people or anything calling
so,
in.
So, Chris in San Diego. Steph, hey, it wouldn't be August without music in the wrong style, speed, or language. Surely we can't let the summer slip by without some music in the wrong style, speed, or language. Something seems so off, so I realized something needed to be done. Threw together some odd music selections at the last minute, fitting perfectly within the SMS summer tradition and lore. Plus, this is the perfect music to languish to within the pre-vacation ditch. I'll start things off with a Muzak organ version of ABBA's Waterloo.
Oh,
now we're talking.
Oh, this is bad.
Yikes.
Oh.
This picture playing off Cat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, yeah.
Play us off, Keyboard Cat.
Yikes! And here's a special one.
Jim is impersonating Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat looks exactly like one of my cats.
And he says, and Steph, here's a special one in honor of your upcoming trip. A French cover of These Boots Are Made for Walking. Well, that's, you gotta hear that.
Quand tu me dis que tu n'as pas d'autre vie.
All right.
Je sais parfaitement.
I know perfectly well that you lie.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. All right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Don is calling from France. Don.
Aix-en-Provence.
He's from Provence.
Aix-en-Provence, absolument.
Oh.
Bonsoir.
Hi, first, can I be the official Asian gay French translator of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, you definitely need one because that's why I'm calling, actually.
Yeah.
Your lying sack of crap is not a sac de merde. Couché, which is how you've translated it.
Oh, dear.
You know what? I think it was just plugged into a translating machine
online.
Yeah, that
was the impression I had, too. Yeah. Because that lying there is lying in the sense of reclining.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
You don't want to be lying in a sack of crap.
No, that would be bad.
No.
Sac de merde menteur.
Yeah.
All right.
So
did you want to say j'accuse before you go?
J'accuse administration Bush de tous les maux de la terre.
How do you say please and how do you say thank you?
Merci.
Please, s'il vous plaît.
S'il vous plaît.
Thank you.
Merci.
Merci.
Okay. Where exactly are you going?
I am going to Paris and then to the Loire Valley for a bike trip. A very drunken bike trip.
Well, that's as well you should. I've got my nice box of rosé in my refrigerator right here.
Hooray!
I sip on all afternoon as I try to work. The problem is you're on from 3 to 6 in the afternoon here, so me to try to work after watching The Young and the Restless, I then have too much wine in me to get anything done in the afternoon, so I just listen to you all day.
So am I going to be mobbed in Paris by gay translator soap opera fans?
Yeah, my last
fans. Or just
fans,
you?
Yeah.
Yes, all right.
But just enjoy, and the French are not nearly as rude as they used to be. In any case, they do that to each other. It's not against America.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
And don't go around, as all Americans seem to think, well, they all speak English, and they just won't, because they don't, believe me.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been with my husband for nearly 30 years, and all he knows are words that you would immediately kick me off the line for pronouncing.
I'm sure.
Any coherent sentence he's never been able to pick up. They don't speak English, okay?
You tell him I said je t'aime, mi amor.
Oh, je t'aime
aussi. That's Spanish.
What?
Mi amor.
All right, goodbye, John. I love you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
What is this? Is like the International House.
Yeah.
This morning, Brett is in Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv.
Hello.
Brett. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
I have
Tel Aviv.
Hello.
Unemployment benefits do promote laziness. Look at Karen Cantor and Bachman. They get paid and don't do anything.
There you go.
That's true. All right. Thank you.
You know what? Another thing that you have to know in France is salpute and putain. Putain.
What does that mean?
You have to Google Translate. It's not okay for the FCC.
Oh, my God. Well, then why did you say it,
for the
Brad?
Love of God,
there goes my job.
For the love of God. Well, did look at it this way. You get an extra long vacation.
Beaucoup de vacances.
Hmm? Yeah, beaucoup de vacances.
Hmm.
That means a lot of vacation.
Vacances permanentes.
Sure. Okay. Wow. Mitt Romney, he doesn't have to go. If he goes on vacation, he pretty much has a house everywhere. He has a giant vacation home wherever he goes.
Sure.
But he has a new, you know, the one in, where is it, in La Jolla? That he's going to quadruple the size of. He's bulldozing a $12 million, 3,000 square foot oceanfront mansion in La Jolla and replacing it with an 11,000 square foot one.
Because there wasn't enough room.
Yes, they said it would, the existing home, inadequate for the Romney's needs. for the vacation
needs.
Well,
you have all 400 kids there. But, you
know. Now, Romney is saying he's merely doubling the living space of the home, and the rest of the additional square footage was non-living space.
Oh. What does
dead space?
A rough calculation indicates the non-living space in his beach house will be approximately 5,000 square feet, or more than twice the size of the average American home.
Oh.
Very thick walls?
Is that what that means? What is non-living space?
That basement garage, he says. That, you know, wherever the help, where the help stays. Before. I don't know. 29 minutes after the hour, right back.
Stephanie Miller.
3 minutes of sex and a lifetime of regret.
Right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ari Berman, of course, one of our personal favorite writers from the nation, author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics, has a great and frightening new piece in the Rolling Stone called The GOP War on Voting. Ari joins us now.
And that article just hit Rolling Stone's website this morning, so check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Hi, Ari.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for being had. We are normally happy, clappy liberal, and this is a terrifying story. You know, but it's stuff that we've talked about a lot. But, boy, you know, you basically sum it up in the headline. The GOP war on voting and a campaign supported by the Koch brothers. Republicans are working to prevent millions of Democrats from voting next year. And it's not the problem is it's not just one state, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, this has been a very coordinated attempt since the 2010 election, really, to prevent a lot of Democratic voters, and principally the voters that elected Barack Obama, so young people, African Americans, Hispanics, from voting in 2012. And this legislation was introduced somewhat under the radar in 38 states since the 2010 election and has become law in over a dozen states. And so really what's happened is that so many places across the map, red and blue states alike, now have completely different voting laws in 2012 that could disproportionately affect Democratic voters next time around.
Well, you know, and as you sum up in your first paragraph, just as the Dixiecrats once used poll taxes and literary tests to bar black Southerners from voting, a new crop of Republican governors and state legislators passed a series of seemingly disconnected measures that could prevent millions of, as you say, all the groups you just mentioned from casting ballots. You quote someone as saying, "What has happened this year is the most significant setback to voting rights in this country in a century." I mean, that is just terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, this is something that is starting to get attention, but really hasn't become a huge national issue. I believe it will before this is all over, just because this is such a dramatic change. I mean, people forget often in this country that before 1965, I mean, black people in the South really didn't have the right to vote, and there was this incredible struggle to get there, and everyone believes that ever since, we've just been making progress in terms of making it easier for people to vote. And that really had been the case until after the 2008 election. And what happened is the Obama campaign used a lot of these new tools, including voter registration, early voting, et cetera, to really expand the electorate. And Republicans saw that and they said, okay, we don't want that to happen again. We don't want that to happen in 2012. So we're going to make it more difficult at every step of the process for people to be able to vote, whether it's making it more difficult to register to vote, making it more difficult to vote early, making it more difficult to vote on election day, requiring IDs that a very significant percentage of the population don't have. And so really, it's all these steps combined. It's not one of them. It's all these different steps combined that really could hurt Democratic turnout in 2012.
Well, you know, Ari, I'm sure they're looking at the same polls that you and I are, that the American people hugely are on the president and the Democrats' side on issue after issue. And this is what I always say. It's like, if you can't win fairly on the issues, this is the kind of stuff you do, right?
Absolutely, and it's really not just about the President Obama. It's also about what's happening in all these states. So, for example, in Wisconsin, which is one of the states I focus on, I mean, Scott Walker and Republicans in Wisconsin enacted a very controversial and unpopular agenda. And so what they promptly did after, for example, cutting down the right of workers to bargain, what they did right after that is they enacted this law making it more difficult for people to vote and requiring photo IDs, state-issue photo IDs at the polls. And they crafted the law in such a way that it will disproportionately affect African-Americans, Hispanics, and especially students, because right now the law is written in such a way that every student ID is ineligible. So there's a huge amount of students, 240,000 students in Wisconsin, that are basically ineligible to vote based on their ID. And that's the kind of thing where you're really rigging the rules to try to secure your own election.
Well, you know, I mean, and the scary thing is, you know, you quote, a lot of times they admit it. You quote, is it Paul White, how do you say his name, Weyrich?
Paul Weyrich.
Yeah, he says, I don't want everybody to vote. You know, he said, as a matter of fact, our leverage in the election quite candidly goes up as the voting populace goes
down.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Weyrich, who founded this group called the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, which I'm sure you've talked about a lot on the show, has been instrumental in pushing for a lot of these voter ID changes, drafted, for example, mock legislation that has been used in a number of different states that instituted new photo ID laws. And Weyrich basically said what has been motivating these laws, but most people are afraid to say it. What instead they say is, okay, well, we're doing this because of voter fraud, even though study after study after study has shown that voter fraud is basically a myth. I mean, there's a great quote from a report by the Brennan Center that I use in my piece that says, a voter is more likely to be struck by lightning than to impersonate another voter at the poll.
Right.
So, I mean, voter fraud actually doesn't happen. It's a total myth. But this is what's been used to justify these sweeping changes. And what Weyrich did is basically say it's not actually about voter fraud. What it's about is the fact that the larger the turnout usually benefits Democrats, because there's these low proportion voters, including young people and some minority groups, that if they turn out, it helps the Democrats. If they don't turn out, it helps the Republicans.
Well, particularly this version of the Republican Party with the Tea Party, it's becoming clearer and clearer. They really are only for the top 1%. I mean, you do the math and, you know, and you see how the polling is coming out. Let's look at, I mean, it literally, when you go state by state, you say in Texas, a handgun permit is considered an accepted form of ID for voters, but a student ID is not. I mean,
it's comical if it wasn't so scary, because the implications of this are that they're really going after specific groups of voters in a way we haven't seen in such a long time. And it's really shocking, because this is exactly what the Voting Rights Act banned. The Voting Rights Act banned discriminating, for example, against black voters in the South. But now what they're doing is they're not just going after black voters. They're going after Hispanics. They're going after younger voters. They're going after high propensity Democratic voters. And they're writing the law in such a way that could really, I think, get them in trouble, because Indiana passed a photo ID law in 2005 that the Supreme Court upheld in 2008. But what the Supreme Court found is that that law didn't present an undue burden, because 99% of Indianans had that ID or could get access to it. These new laws go beyond what was approved in Indiana, because they really are targeting specific groups of voters in Texas and Wisconsin in particular, going after students and not allowing those student IDs to be eligible.
You write, one of the most restrictive laws requiring voter ID was passed in South Carolina. To obtain the free state ID now required to vote, 178,000 South Carolinians who currently lack one must first pay $12 for a birth certificate. You say it is, you know, you quote someone saying, is the stepsister of the poll tax.
Well, yeah, and what I think is so ridiculous about that law is actually obtaining a fake birth certificate is actually one of the top uses of fraud in America. So you could have a situation where someone could actually illegally procure a birth certificate in order to legally vote, all in the name of voter fraud, which is, quite frankly, somewhat of a crazy Orwellian scenario when it comes to voting.
What about Florida? You say that Republicans have passed a voter registration law that threatens to turn civic-minded volunteers into criminals. What's that about?
I think Florida has really been ground zero for a lot of this fight, because what happened is you had a fairly moderate governor before in Charlie Crist, replaced by a very conservative governor in Rick Scott, and the Obama campaign really was able to turn out black voters and younger voters using voter registration and using early voting in Florida in 2008. And what Florida did is they imposed these crazy new requirements on groups that do voter registration. So, for example, League of Women Voters, and what they mandated is that you have to hand in all your voter registration forms within 48 hours of collecting them, or you could face a $1,000 fine, which is pretty steep for a volunteer organization, including felony prosecution. And then there's just all these new bureaucratic requirements. I went through the law. It's incredibly complicated, insanely difficult to process. And basically, as a result of this, you had groups like the League of Women Voters, nonpartisan groups that had been doing voter registration for 70 years, saying they can't do voter registration anymore and have actually shut down their efforts. And they denounced the law as, quote, good old-fashioned voter suppression. And basically, what's happening is all these groups that registered voters in 2008 and in years prior won't be able to do so in 2012 in Florida. Add that to the fact that Florida also cut down voter registration, early voting from 14 days to 8 days and banned it on Sunday, which is when black voters historically mobilize their constituents. So these two things combined could really shape the way the electorate looks in 2012 in the Republicans' favor.
Well, Ari, you know me, I'm always looking for the silver lining because, the problem obviously is, this is such an important story and you feel like, oh, God, is this going to depress turnout? Is, people listening right now going, oh, forget it, the election's already stolen or already gone. What can we do? And what, like, as you were saying, you're not sure legally or otherwise if there's enough attention on this with pieces like yours that they can get away with it. What's your take on all that?
Number one, there's going to be a significant amount of legal challenges to these laws. The Justice Department is going to be looking at them. They are looking at them right now. Under the Voting Rights Act, any changes in the southern states under the Voting Rights Act, including Florida, have to be pre-cleared by the Justice Department. So that's one thing. Second thing, in a number of states, including, for example, Ohio, there are ballot initiatives to try to overturn these laws. So that's an ongoing campaign, and people can see whether that's going on in their states. And then there's just a question of, okay, fine, if you need these IDs, go out and get them. And that's what a lot of these nonpartisan groups and I'm sure a number of Democratic campaigns are going to be focusing on in the run-up to 2012 is educating people that saying, okay, it's going to be different this time. This is what you need to vote and just be prepared for it. And that's why you're starting to see more happening now. And we wanted to do this article early so that people would be aware of it.
Yes.
So that it doesn't happen a month before the election when people realize that they can't register to vote, they can't vote early, and they need an ID that they don't have at the polls.
That's right. Well, no, I mean, that's why this is so important. You did this piece, Ari, and I think, even in these latest elections in Wisconsin, I know they were saying the same thing. They were trying to put out active disinformation to dissuade people from voting, and that's the best thing you can do is just put out the correct information.
People tried to call this show and put out bad information.
Absolutely. Ari, so the piece is called The GOP War on Voting. It is up on the Rolling Stone website.
Mm-hmm. Rollingstone.com. We put a link to it up at your Facebook page.
Yes, on Stephanie Miller Facebook page. Ari, thanks so much, and just great work as usual.
Great, thanks. I appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Of course, even if you are allowed to vote, you're still often voting on the oft-failed, easily manipulated, privately manufactured electronic voting systems made by companies like Diebold, ES&S, and Sequoia, which routinely...
All that being said, get out and vote. Please don't let Jim dissuade you from voting. All right. 46 minutes
Jim.
After the hour. Mitten's hair almost moved.
What?
And we have Celebrity Stack as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, I think people are giving me bull French advice on purpose just
probably.
So people get even madder at me.
Yeah. What are they saying?
Sequoia says, Steph, never fail to greet the person in a shop when you go in. Always say, bonjour. Probably they hate that. Probably they hate Americans that
they like
walk
that.
In and yell. They,
you usually say, bonjour, madame. Or because,
bonjour, monsieur.
Because in their culture, it's like you're coming into their house. And so you greet them, bonjour, madame, bonjour,
don't
monsieur.
Tell me something that's going to get me punched.
That one is true. So
I'm going to get my beret slapped off.
You don't want a coup de poing.
Yeah. When you go into a wine store, make sure you say bonjour, madame.
Bonjour!
Yes.
Okay. Except that was annoying to me. I just did that.
Yeah, don't do it like
I
that.
I think I'm Julia Armand in Chocolat. Hello, Stephanie. Bonjour! Stephanie in Madison. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Oh, I hope you have a great vacation.
Thanks, honey.
I'm so envious of you. But I do suggest when you're, you know, on your long plane ride across the ocean.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how long that is yet, how many books that's going to be.
Well, it's going to be a while for you since you're in L.A. So
yeah.
Probably at least 12 hours, mm-hmm. I would assume.
Is it nonstop?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Oh, good
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer, but
yeah.
I may have to bring the Dick Cheney book.
Here's my suggestion.
Yeah.
Learn the correct French translation of Dick Cheney is a lying sack of crap.
There you go.
And the French will love you because they don't like that accent.
Oh, I should learn how to say that. Bonjour, I hate Dick Cheney too. That should
yeah,
be, I think, the...
Je déteste Dick Cheney aussi.
Okay, thank you. All right. I'm going to add that to my bonjour greeting. I didn't vote for him. Okay. All right.
Je déteste... Say it after me. Je déteste... Dick Cheney...
Dick Cheney...
aussi.
Aussi.
Encore une fois. Je déteste...
Merci.
Dick Cheney... aussi.
See? There you go.
Où est la plume de bâton?
Somebody on the live blog said that entire last segment is going to go on Newsbusters.
Yeah.
It just was French and gay and
filthy.
Yeah, and filthy and everything that they hate us for.
Great.
Okay. Which is the main reason why I picked France for my birthday vacation. Because it'll piss the right wing off more than anything.
I said you are an asshat.
Yeah.
You did?
Questionable
Le
French.
Le stylo awesome. De ma tante est jaune.
Douche canoe? How do you say that? Douche
boy.
Nozzle?
Douche?
No.
So
the douche.
Well,
no,
douche,
shower,
a douche is a shower.
Yeah.
When you take a shower, you're taking a douche in French.
All right. Mitt Romney. Oh, grr. Now he's taking it to Rick Perry.
Now, I'm a conservative businessman.
Uh-huh.
I spent most of my life outside politics.
Oh, you're an outsider.
Dealing with real problems in the
outsider.
Real economy.
Yeah.
Career politicians got us into this mess, and they simply don't know how to get us out.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
he was a governor. His dad
are.
Was a governor, and
yeah.
I see. But he's an outsider Those. Kind of guy.
Sure, yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Wow. Is anyone buying that crap?
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute. Okay, so he's touting his lack of experience in
yes.
government.
Yes.
But he was criticizing Obama's lack of experience in government
mm-hmm.
back in 2008.
Well, my lack of experience in government is better than your lack of experience.
Oh, so we're going down that road now. I see.
And as it obviously turns out, the president was right on Libya.
Our involvement in Libya was marked by inadequate clarity of purpose before we began the mission.
Oh, I see.
And then mission muddled during the operation. And ongoing confusion as to our role in the future.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like your resume.
I don't think Romney's going to be the nominee. He's not. It's going to be Perry, totally.
That's right. Give me a haystack and put my leg up like Captain Morgan.
I just enjoy the
You can look at my junk. Look at it. Come on, look at it.
Of sheer white-knuckled panic in the Mitt Romney campaign office.
Yeah.
Holy shnikes.
Okay. Hey, let's give...
We'll let the rednecks off.
Representative Gabrielle Giffords walking with a cane and writing with her left hand.
Yay.
This is a good news story. One of her aides says she's on the path to full recovery. I'm certain about that. Her cognitive abilities are 100%. He said, if I could say 150%, I know that's not possible. That's how I see it. He said, as far as a decision whether to run or not, we'll know more about that later in the year, early next year, he thinks, at the latest.
Hooray.
All right. Oh, kids, I've told you, Chris, damn it. I told you to figure out some things to put in my rider for Sexy Liberal Show. I've got nothing in there. Don't I need some demands of some kind?
Yes.
Eminem has requested a koi pond backstage everywhere he goes.
And why would Eminem...
Why can't I have a koi pond?
A koi pond?
Why would he need a koi pond backstage?
He's requested that backstage in Northern Ireland. He wants a wooden pond filled with fishes.
Because koi is so prevalent
in Northern
Ireland.
Yes, they cost between $326 and $652 per fish.
Have a tin of kippers.
I can't even get goldfish crackers backstage. I can't remember what show it was. They said, what do you want backstage? I said, oh, I don't care about that stuff, whatever. And you know what, whatever turned out to be? Nothing.
Nothing.
They had nothing backstage, not even a goldfish cracker. I said, I just meant, all right,
well. You should have just said, like, a plate of cold cuts or, like, crudité or something. Just, something to nosh.
I got, Yukon Cornelius was the,
good man.
Was the venue director there, and here's what I got.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weirdest story I think I've officially ever seen in Celebrity Stack. David Guest said during a Michael Jackson documentary that's supposed to air in the UK that Whitney Houston was having dinner with Michael at his Neverland home when she accidentally dropped her knife under the table. When Michael was retrieving it for her, Whitney felt her toes being sucked. She moaned, "Michael, is that you? Don't stop, that's so sensual."
What?
Yes, Michael's head popped up and her toes were still being sucked. It turned out it was bubbles.
Oh, God!
The chin. Sucking Whitney Houston's toes under Michael. That's
weird.
Sure, it wasn't Dick Morris?
God.
Yeah. I don't think Dick Morris can fit under a table.
Wow. Okay. Oh, boy. Here's a book we need. P. Diddy is releasing a book about butts. It is a photo publication dedicated entirely to women's backside.
Huh.
All right. J-Lo covers pages 10 through 57.
Yeah. Hey, Dick Cheney already has a book out. He's an ass. I get it! He's a book by an ass. Because he's an ass. Daryl Hannah, our buddy, our pal, who's been a guest here, has been arrested at the White House for protesting an oil pipeline.
Yes, in the oil sands.
Yes.
Well, I guess she got down out of that tree now, didn't she?
Not since she was arrested in Splash, you remember, for traipsing through Central Park, it being a mermaid.
Sure.
Has there been such a kerfuffle involving Daryl Hannah? But we support her and her environmentalism, and she's an awesome guest on our show. All right. That's it for us. I'll be in tomorrow.
Barely.
Sort of.
Yeah, you're not going to be here.
No. I'll be.
You'll be here, but you won't be here.
Because I have to pack in the few minutes after the show I have before I go to France. Okay. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.